Democrat Paul Davis and Governor Sam Brownback disagree on a whole host of issues. And here's another one. How should Kansas pick state Supreme Court judges? Paul Davis prefers the status quo. He doesn't want to change the process. But Governor Brownback does, and that's sparking yet another controversy in this year's very closely watched race for the state's highest office. KCUR's Frank Morris just did a story on this issue. Let's listen.
Okay, lots of people are influential in one way or another, but Kansas Supreme Court justices?
They have the ability to touch every aspect of everybody's life in this state.
As Michael Kay, a law professor at Washburn University, points out, these justices shape citizens' rights as patients, employees, spouses, you name it. Their decisions last, and they're everywhere.
Your children will be affected by judges' rulings on such things as school finance. They will decide what criminal statutes are or are not constitutional.
So it was a big deal a couple of weeks ago when Governor Brownback stood in the echoey chambers of the Kansas Supreme Court and made his first appointment to it.
Selecting a judge is one of the most important things a governor is called upon to do. Our judges must be wise. Our judges must be committed to the rule of law. Our judges must respect and honor the Kansas Constitution. Caleb Stegall is all of these things, and he will serve our citizens well for many years to come.
Stegall is, after all, 42. That gives him possibly 33 years on the court. He's a conservative. He represented former Kansas Attorney General Phil Klein when Klein was sued by Planned Parenthood. He's worked for Americans for Prosperity, the Koch brothers' political organization, but also as a leader in Audubon of Kansas, an environmental group. Stegall was Brownback's official lawyer until earlier this year. His path to the high court was unique, and it brings up a larger issue, according to Ryan White, with Kansans for Fair Courts.
To understand what's happening in the judiciary, you have to understand who Caleb Stegall is.
In October 2012, Stegall submitted an application to the Kansas Supreme Court Nominating Commission. It's a group of nine, five lawyers elected by other Kansas attorneys, and four people selected by the governor. The group vets candidates for the high court and presents a list of finalists to the governor to choose from. The idea is that lawyers are best qualified to identify people with the sharpest legal minds. It's called merit selection. 22 states use it, and Kansas has for decades to fill vacancies on both the state Supreme Court and the Kansas Court of Appeals. But Wright says that stopped after Stegall struck out with the nominating commission.
The entire process was essentially changed just to get Justice Stegall through the system.
Last year, the legislature, led by Brownback, moved to stop merit selection and to switch to a system more like the one used at the federal level, letting the governor nominate and giving the Senate power to ratify. With the state court of appeals, it was just a matter of passing a law. That done, Brownback chose Caleb Stegall for a newly created seat on the Kansas Court of Appeals. The Senate ratified him. But the selection system for the state Supreme Court is harder to change because it's enshrined in the state constitution, which requires a two-thirds vote in both chambers to amend. Democrats in the House, like Paul Davis, now running for governor, voted with some moderate Republicans to preserve merit selection and won. This year brought legislation stripping some authority from the state Supreme Court and a bit of national attention.
I think that in Kansas, the amount of political pressure that's being put on the court raises serious concerns about the proper separation of powers in the state.
Matt Menendez at the Brennan Center for Justice in New York says Kansas is one of a handful of states where politicians are angling to drain power from the judicial branch. He says ending merit selection is part of it. But KU law professor Steve Ware says politicizing judiciary selection in Kansas would be an improvement.
Judges make law. It's inevitably a somewhat political office, where in a democracy like ours, it really ought to be one person, one vote in selecting those judges, as opposed to giving lawyers special powers.
Ware says that vesting all the power to choose justices with elected leaders would bring more accountability to the process.
Voters can see who their executive has nominated, and voters can say, you know, I'm going to count this in favor or against that incumbent when the next election comes around.
Governor Brownback chose Caleb Stegall for the Kansas Supreme Court after getting his name on a list of three from the Supreme Court Nominating Commission. He'd like to have more control over the process if he's reelected and presented with another opportunity to select a Supreme Court justice. Paul Davis says he's not interested in exerting more political control over the judiciary. It's a difference of approach that could keep affecting Kansas long after the political careers of either candidate for governor. Frank Morris, KCUR News.
And joining us now to talk about the selection of Supreme Court judges are Stephen Ware, professor of law at KU, and he joins us this morning from the studios of Kansas Public Radio. Professor Ware, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Matthew Menendez is also with us. You just heard him on Frank's report. He's counsel for the Democracy Project at the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law. Let's dive right into this, Professor Ware. This notion that if you do away with the Missouri plan, the merit selection plan that again, Frank Morris just talked about, and you would replace it with the federal system where, as Governor Brownback wants, the Senate, Governor Brownback would appoint someone, the Senate would ratify or confirm the nominee or not. A lot of critics would say that's going to make this whole process more political, not less. And you say what to that?
Well, I guess the starting point really is that what judges do, that judges make law, especially at the state Supreme Court level. Those justices are very important lawmakers. Making law is a big part of their jobs. Yes, judges apply legislation, statutes enacted by the legislature, and sometimes it's very clear how those statutes apply to a particular case. But other times the statutes are vague or ambiguous, and judges have discretion, which they can exercise to rule one way or the other. Reasonable people can disagree about how to interpret different statutes. And there's some evidence suggesting that it's somewhat predictable on at least some legal issues of conservative judges tending to use their discretion in a more conservative direction and liberal judges tending to use their discretion in a more liberal direction.
So, Professor Ware, you're saying the process is already political, so why dance around it?
Well, that's part of the point, which is if you listen to advocates for the system that Kansas has, which is really extreme in giving the bar power, more power than any other state does, or the advocates for the Missouri system, which is, I guess, second most in bar power, these are just about 10 states here in this part of the country that depart from the basic democratic principle of one person, one vote to give the bar power. And the arguments that those folks make tend to downplay or hide the lawmaking side of what judges do.
Let's go to Matt Menendez here. Matt, you just heard Professor Ware outline his arguments in favor of changing the Kansas plan. What do you think?
Well, I think that the plan as it is not particularly unusual. There are 22 other states that use merit selection to select their judge, and 30 states use a merit selection process to either select their Supreme Court justices or to fill interim vacancies. It's really not an unusual process. And I think it's worthwhile recalling the potential risks of a gubernatorial appointment process. And I would note that there are only four states that do use the federal model for gubernatorial appointment. Back in 1958, then-Governor Fred Hall of Kansas lost his primary election, and shortly before his term was going to end, he resigned his governorship, and simultaneously, the Chief Justice of the Kansas Supreme Court resigned. The Lieutenant Governor, who became the governor, then appointed the outgoing governor to become the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, which was his only official act as governor. It was notorious. It became called the Kansas Triple Play, and the voters subsequently ratified a constitutional provision instituting merit selection. And that's a relatively extreme example, but it illustrates the risk of political cronyism, which the gubernatorial model, I think, is at risk.
So, Matt, what you're saying is the idea of changing the Kansas plan, one of the biggest reasons not to do it is because of what happened in Kansas once upon a time back in the 1950s.
Well, I just think that that's an illustrative example of the risk of cronyism that can arise. One, you know, there's no system of selecting judges that completely removes politics from the equation. People are political creatures. The main attribute of the merit selection system is that it brings in a number of stakeholders with varying interests, and their common interest is in quality judges. So, you know, perhaps a state, you know, one of your attorneys might be a trial lawyer on the plaintiff side, and their first choice would be a judge who would rule in their favor in tort cases, and another judge might be a prosecutor whose interest is in having a strong-on-crime judge. But if they don't get their first choice, generally they can come to agree that their second choice would be a fair and impartial judge who will be predictable. And it's, you know, a very Madisonian concept of bringing in different stakeholders with their own interests and having to come together to agree on a mutually satisfactory candidate.
Professor Ware, what about just that notion that Matt Menendez just expressed, this idea that, hey, lawyers know best, why not go with them because they know this system better than anybody else does?
Well, Mr. Menendez is right that lawyers tend to know who has the good technical lawyering skills for the sort of technical part of the job of being a judge. And so it's certainly sensible to have lawyers involved in the judicial selection process as the states that use a federal model system, which, by the way, there's more states than Mr. Menendez just said. But those states bring lawyers' expertise into the process, too. The question is, are you going to bring lawyers' expertise into the process in a democratically legitimate way, a way that respects the principle of one person, one vote, or are you going to do what Kansas and just eight other states, contrary to what Mr. Menendez suggested, are you going to give lawyers more power than other citizens have in selecting the judges?
Professor, I'm confused. You're talking about the influence of judges even in the federal method of picking judges, which is the way it is, the way the Senate and President Obama worked this out. President Obama picks someone and the Senate has to vote on that person. Hey, how are lawyers involved in that process, Steve?
Well, both democratically elected branches of government, the president and the senators, have lawyers, their counsel, working with them to consider possible candidates, to vet them, and then ultimately to advise them in asking questions, to interview the candidates and make decisions.
Again, Matt, your contention here is that as we talk about this whole process of picking judges in Kansas, that giving the authority to the governor, as Governor Brownback would like to see happen, that would make it more partisan, at least in your view, if I understand correctly.
Well, it can be more partisan. It can also be more of just cronyism. Being a judge is a very highly sought-after job among attorneys, and I would like to note that, you know, when you're talking about attorneys, as Professor Ware mentioned, they tend to be in a position to have the ability to assess their peers as attorneys. And, you know, keep in mind that to become a judge, you have to be an attorney in Kansas. So the idea that attorneys have, you know, an active role in selecting judges is not particularly unusual. But, you know, I think the concern isn't just that a governor's picks might be partisan, but it's that it will be used to reward political supporters instead of picking the most qualified candidate for judge.
You know, and I agree with Mr. Menendez that cronyism is a problem, and that example in Kansas in the 1950s is an extreme example of cronyism, which shows that we don't want unchecked power. We can all agree that we don't want one person, the governor, to have complete control with no check on the governor's discretion, because that does risk cronyism. We all share that sort of Madisonian idea of checks and balances. And really the choice between these two judicial selection systems, the bar-empowering system that Kansas has and a system that uses the state senate or some other elected body to check the governor, is do you want the check on the governor to come from the bar or do you want it to come from democratically elected people.
Mm-hmm. You know, the criticism of folks who want to change the system, Professor Ware, in Kansas, who want to switch to the federal model, the criticism is that, hey, this system has worked well for a long time, but now it's conservative Republicans who are saying they want to put their people more often on the bench, and changing the system is the way to accomplish that task. What about that?
Well, that misses what's going on in the other states and for how long people like me have been advocating change here in Kansas and in other states. It was back when Kathleen Sebelius was governor that I suggested Kansas change to a democratically legitimate form of appointment. And I go to other states and suggest the same for those states too. So I think it's sort of narrow and short-sighted to focus on the personalities of the day, you know, who happens to be governor, who happens to hold what office. And better, when you're thinking about the judicial selection system, changing it, to think long-term, to think over generations, where there's going to be turnover and who's in what position, who's in what role, and try to think about what's the best system when you just don't know who's going to be in what position.
Well, Professor, let me challenge that a minute, because you didn't hear any talk in Kansas, and I've been covering it for a couple decades now. You didn't hear any talk in Kansas of changing the system until the right rose, the conservatives rose into power, and then you began hearing more talk about wanting to place more conservative judges in on the bench. And Kathleen Sebelius was governor not that many years ago here, so this is all a fairly recent phenomenon.
Well, the specific example of making a change in Kansas going back to Kathleen Sebelius's governorship is just when I got involved. I'm sure there's people earlier than that that would have wanted the change. And the judicial selection issue has been a perennial in all 50 states. In other words, states that have judicial elections, you'll constantly see the bar advocating for a commission system that gives the bar more power, as happens in Kansas, and states like Kansas and Missouri, where the bar has a lot of power, you'll see people advocating either electing judges or a federal model kind of appointment system that would put the bar in the same position other citizens are in.
Matt Menendez, maybe just a final point here. You know, here we're sitting here talking about the federal system, and a lot of folks are critical of that system because it brings more partisanship to – it could bring more partisanship to the process in Kansas. But yet that system's been in place for centuries out in Washington, and people haven't demanded change there. Why wouldn't that be such a – not such a bad way to go?
Well, I would say that, one, it's important to note that it's very difficult to change the federal constitution compared to state constitutions, where there's a lot more flexibility to change rules. And there are a lot of things in the federal constitution that if people were, to sit down and decide whether they would like to do it, they might change some of the systems that we have. But I would also say that I agree with Professor Ware. Judges are tremendously important, and a good system for selecting judges is tremendously important. But unfortunately, it's something that a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention to unless they're unfortunate enough to be hauled into court.
Okay. We're going to leave our good conversation there. I want to thank KU School of Law Professor Stephen Ware and Matt Menendez, counsel for the Democracy Program at the Brennan Center for Justice out in New York. Thanks so much for taking some time. Gentlemen, I appreciate it.